And actually, I support the National Congress that they should be doing all the equal rights. Mm-hmm. And it was blocked by very few votes. Saranath was proposed as a candidate.
When
Congress came there, and
then
I addressed a big public meeting in a Tower Hall, in a factory. Advocating it. The DSM has opposed it. The Jinnah has asked the EAP Vijay Rakhna in the world.
Opposed it.
Oh, yes. And I was the only man to stand up for it. And I had the courage to address a packed audience. These days, your heads would have been broken. But I'm telling you, I had a certain new sense. See? And I still think that it would have not developed these political proportions if the Board of Ministers dealt with this problem realistically and without much beating a drum. At once convert your political problem, then you convert an economic problem, and it becomes a political economic problem. See? It has to be solved, undoubtedly. But at the same time, I have this answer here, and I am quite frank about it. I have a great deal of sympathy for some of these worthy of the residents and poor generations in this country. I think that's where the Atlantic remains. Today, I know that. People who carried on the patarakats, the merchants, the people who are responsible for all the black marketing, they are all distinguished. It's rather unfair. But as an academic requires, I don't say it can oversimplify the problem. It is a matter of hard thinking. You have to deal with it as a human problem too.
Can you remember the 40-41 negotiations with India, and I think a team came over here too, and they failed, didn't they?
You know that that's a very fine team. Bajpai, Mirza Ismail, and yes. You know that Banda was also in that team?
Yes, I know.
But the only person who stood up was debate the whole night. Because I know it, because I was in Kandy and I had already asked Mirza Ismail to come for a public reception, field reception again. He was very kind to me myself, so I want to do a dinner and field reception there. Couldn't come because they sat up the whole night. See? And these are the men who stood up to me.
He refused to...
He stood up to the argument. He stood up to the argument very well. You see, he is a wonderful kind of logic, you know, one who thinks he is a trained lawyer. His language may be defective, but...
Isn't it correct to say that on this question, there were different viewpoints in Ceylon, the British officers and the civilians took different viewpoints?
Yes, and in fact, Caldecott once showed me a leaflet. That was sent out to India at that time. He was in the middle of the world at one time. He was also dealing with labor problems in Malaya.
Oh, I see.
He showed me a leaflet that was used to be distributed in India for their equipment, that they will get all the advantages here. So they brought here on certain, what he was trying to make out was, that they brought here on certain conditions. And having lived for so long, that they were sort of tied to certain...
Right.
But Caldecott is not simple to the team. To be frank, in the case of the village committee election, the elected minister, the Secretary of State had recommended that resident labour should be excluded. Now, resident labour meant Indian labour, that's all. In other words, Indian labour. And I said I could not deny myself. It originated with the Secretary of State. generation of Kaliyuga.
On Kaliyuga's question.
And is it all right? You carry on. That's all right. All right. I'll wait for Banda to come and Banda can.
And what did Banda do?
So this question is history. Start with it very closely.
Don't you think that Nehru's advice to our estate labor alienated them from the, say, the working class movement in Ceylon, the non-Indian working class movement?
Okay.
I think he encouraged them to hold out and not to join the to amalgamate with the other working class movement.
Well, I tell you this, I don't think Nehru meant it that way. What Nehru meant was this, to support the government of the day, to support the people of the country, I think he did not want them to join the trade unions with, you know, the other orientations.
But then he himself is socialist-minded.
There is a distinction now, to be frank, but I was a socialist. I was always a socialist. But socialism has also various shapes. As once Peter Kennerman remarked, in the room, to be said, there are so many secretaries, he said, RSS agrees with us and supports us in all the progressive measures, but not on the thing that matters more. Then I said, you are so right, Peter, that shall never be. It is now, for instance, I am always supporting all these progressive socialistic beings, socialism. But when it comes to the main thing, or the creation of what we call a communist state, force apart. With that far and no further. So a lot of people who think that way. And I, if you ask me, the vast majority of people, the socialists and the other more liberal minded people are not against communist activities or SSP activities or world activities, except that they don't want the dictatorial rule, they don't want the wiping out of democracy. See? But those have also changed now. After all, the Russian Moscow changes.
Moscow speaking. Moscow
is now accept some of the bad things to the
former
capitalistic country. See? Speaking on the other side, say, nothing good.
No, but isn't it rather strange that many of our.
Now, Nehru himself, I was going to point out, Nehru was a socialist at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You see, many of the Ceylonese were against recognizing these Indian immigrants for voting purposes and even having them here.
Yes.
But when labor was essential in the 30s and 40s,
yes,
even Sir John utilized them and
didn't
stop the. They
worked Indian laborers for various purposes, for rubber.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, the tappers.
No, but isn't it funny? They're good enough to work, they're good enough to do the scavenging. But in a sense, aren't they the niggers of the South?
Of course, they are, no question about it.
They're sort of.
Of course, there is a great deal to be said for the proposition also a country can absorb.
Just so much.
You can't tie a millstone around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
See? But that's where it is a matter for negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
That's where there is a matter for agreement. It's not a matter for compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
So to that extent, right. But at the same time, I don't know how it will work
mm-hmm.
in actual practice.
In fact, you brought the subject of the Marxist parties up. I mean, they developed in the late 30s. And now we see their significance. But was it realized then, 38, 39, just before the war, did you really realize?
I'll tell you, yes, some of us will. I'll tell you one thing. Again, a conversation with Kaldirgan. He asked me about Navagraha Vadana. Oh, those speeches, listen to them, studied them, and you're voting. And you would tell me that although you are not prepared to join them, that you will have great admiration for it. He said, I said, a lot of them are my countrymen, I said. You take a Hemant Kishore Singh, I call him to be my pupil, a lot of these actors are still Kishore Singh, I have all people in mind. I mean, I was with you in mind, and I said, I got a great regard for them. Their honesty and sincerity, and their actual desire to serve. Then he said, Gramadhan, if I ever had a man like you, have got such a sneakish regard with some Samanis and the communists, I can just imagine what the man in the street and the man in the village will think. I certainly am not going to have an election till the war is over. And then he turned around and said, what is the difference between you and they? And then, I said, difference is this. I believe in taking a man from the gutter, and the sky is the limit for him. Depending on his energy, depending on his intellectual equipment, in that way, to rise to the highest level. And there is no limit to that. But my communist friend wants people to be that, go that far and no further. In the name of what is, that everybody should be equal, that if people cannot afford to buy good things, they will all wear the Audi. Or they will all wear mud houses. Or that they must not rise higher than this. See? That's one thing. So they believe in only equalizing the opportunities by accepting the factors that are now operating. I believe in individual effort, a person rising, and all, and the nation encouraging such things. So that there may come a time when everybody will have the equal. And besides, their doctrine is based, my doctrine is based on love, service, and no class hatred. No hatred of any person or person, no race hatred. And the Buddhist, the father, mother loves their child, their only child. My basis is that. The communist doctrine is not this, however. They believe in class. It should not happen. Third, so one is love, the other is hate. And the techniques of it, to me even worse. They believe in the end justifying the means, I don't believe in that. They don't mind with this treachery, misrepresentation, fraud, deceit, or force, or whatever.
As you saw in 1931?
At that time, as I saw this, see? I don't think their material came now. So that is the difference between materialism, yes, I didn't quite see it, I see it now. So there are many of us who are socialists on a different basis. You see that? Not on the same thing. But of course, at that time, you know that J.R. and W. and Atheist and were all good fellows. For all, in the early 30s, well, I used to be always, I made no secret of mine.
But don't you think that, looking back, communism has proved a greater attraction to the masses than Marxism?
Definitely. That is, I also will say that the presence of the Marxists, whether I believe them or not, has been helpful to the common man.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are at least a champion of their interests as against Western interests.
On the other hand, haven't they used trade unions sometimes as pawns in
power? They have also exploited. It's both ways.
Mm-hmm.
They have also exploited trade unions for political purposes. But they are not denying the individual lookout over certain rights and privileges. Just as I used to feel strongly about political liberties. Those days, I don't know, young and all that, I go, well, that kind of thing won't do, Christians, that and the other.
You supported him?
I was strongly against the struggle.
Why?
Nearly days. Because I said there is exploiting labor.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were the respectable Ceylon Workers Federation. who looked at labor as not a human problem but a
political,
economic or political problem, an impersonal problem, let us say. Is it? Guna Singh never realized that it is not quite an impersonal problem. And then, don't you see, we had other notions about these things. Now when you look back, I think this man had done a great service. And look back, you see that
there were stories going around in those days, I know, that he was making money out of this, but is that correct?
No, that's what I said. Those are the stories that influence people like me. You see that? But now I go out of the way to say, even if the correction was done, it's not exactly in that sense. And if they trusted him, as lots of in America and other places too, in England, they trusted labor leader and gave him definite funds for use. So now I see that I don't think it was as bad as all that, you see that? See? At that time, the picture painted was that the Mukti Kasi, money was collected and exploited. No, but they had a chance with it. They voluntarily.
What about the strike in 45, 46, 47?
Even the earlier strikes, I had no sympathy. I'll tell you why. Because the strike leaders never showed themselves. I appeared in some of the cases in Magistrates Court in those days, where the strike fellows are prosecuted. And I always plead that these are just pawns again, that any warning, discharge or final and something like that, because the leaders are out. They have already created a fine alibi for themselves in some part of the world. This is all labor leaders.
Even the LSSP ones, the 45, 46, 47,
that no. Yes, they were much bolder. For the first time, the LSSP leaders came out into the open. You see that? It wasn't so with the labor leaders in the previous era.
But is it also true to say that in that discourse was era of strikes and violence, there were sometimes strikes were due to a power struggle between groups themselves.
Oh yes. I mean, this is don't think it is a very idealistic movement at all. At least so far as it all is concerned, it is not completely idealistic. And I don't think anywhere it is idealistic. Now when I have been around the world, it is not quite as idealistic as all that. See?
But I read Ludovic's book comes in on, and he said that in this period, a government, that's the Buddha minister, then BSM crowd, had the support of the newspapers who misrepresented matters to the public, to the English reading public.
Half an hour. Certainly, BS had no sympathy with the working class man. Very honestly said. That is a dangerous moment. He honestly felt that trade unions were just a means for capturing power in order to exploit the people and the country. And he didn't show much sympathy with trade unions. And he didn't follow all the rules in the book if he wanted to stop the same thing. He was not as idealist as some of the us in the younger generation. Oh, I said, what do you do that? He was like, you know, big. And in the papers, they were very friendly.
Which one?
They were very friendly. Copy the papers always. It's a great deal in this business. So there's no question about it.
Have seen what?
In all these political games. And I will tell you, again, I'm now quoting Caldecott, when I went to meet one day, he said, did you read the editorial today? I said, yes, I did. Who is responsible for it? I said, who is the editor? No, a more powerful man behind it. Well, it must be D.R. Vijayavardhana, he's a very powerful man. Even more powerful than that.
Your point is D.S.
That is the rest, the Tamil line, you know, lot of this. See?
Again, the Tamils.
That's what made him tell me if I knew the country as well as.
So he was quite up with it, eh?
He involved every single person, his caste, his community, his political thinking. And on the favorite game of backbiting.
In fact, that's interesting about the 50-50 demand. You said the European editors of the Times supported it. They encouraged him, did they?
They drafted.
There's a rumor that Newnham and Pakeman also had. Is that?
Well, that was a belief at that time, but the European community was behind it. The Times was behind it. Now, Pakeman is a very decent fellow. Well, they honestly thought, don't you know, they thought that communal question can never be solved by Ceylon, India, any little country.
So they thought that...
They were thinking of balancing all the time. And the constitution which gives them to be fair also. They felt that if the British left, that their vacuum would be left here. So they were trying ways and means of meeting these positions. But I don't blame them, they honestly thought so.
That's those who drafted this. But isn't it correct to say that as far as Caldicott and the main administrators were concerned, they were honestly worried about the problem?
They were worried about the problem. Mm. They were worried, a lot of people were worried about the problem.
And did Caldicott support the 50-50?
No, he didn't support the 50-50. He was only pleading for better understanding of the similarities in the Tamil. No, he didn't like the proportions, he did not like the communal cry over that. And he felt that the signalist could easily overcome it by a little more generosity and more considerate treatment.
Returning to the strikes, in 1947 when there were these elections and B.S.
As a matter of fact, 50-51 would have been, he would have supported, he would have got it through, but he didn't. He really loved Ceylon.
Pardon?
He really loved Ceylon. But Solbury, of course, his constitution was entirely, although we wiped it, we didn't. Nobody gave evidence.
That is virtually D.S.'s
constitution. D.S. and Oliver. There are people, you know, people like... What are people there?
You gave evidence before the Donamo people earlier. What was your impression of the commissioners?
Decent lot.
Sharp? Or just...
Yes. And very liberal, where they imposed the universal suffrage, and they gave us really two thirds. They have got good reasons for not giving us self-government at that time.
They don't.
Yes,
and in fact, did even our leaders ask for outright?
Never did. In fact, they never asked for that measure of self-government even. In fact, we are only trading on the fact that they are too liberal. We never expected him. Let's be frank about it.
Yes, that's why the criticism of the constitution seems odd, because the criticism implies that they want self-government, which they had not demanded earlier.
What are you talking at the time when I used to stay in the Congress? My slogan was, good government is no substitute for self-government. Good government we always had. That is not consistent with our own national self-respect. These people, like Sir James and D.S. and D.B. held their heads in horror that these young fellows are making it difficult. They didn't think it was a self-government, it was a younger generation who talked of self-government. They never talked of self-government. You are talking of independence, and they wouldn't want the Edmund system reformed, but they did not want the suffrage to be extended legal time, universal suffrage. They offered the preservation of the old thing. They only wanted certain people who were above them to be ousted. Really?
What was your attitude? Yes?
Yes, go on.
Now, what was your attitude to the question of cooperation with the British in the war? Because generally most of our leaders supported the war. I was thinking of the Indian example where the Indian National Congress refused to support. And therefore, won a popularity which stood them in good stead later on.
In our case, Leo, as I said, once I was pleading for pension allowances to NM and Company and Kusuma, and that they should be treated as human beings and things like that. And I made this comment also. We in Ceylon are more British than the British themselves, and Catholics in Ceylon are more Catholic than Jordan's support. I made that popular remark. But I'm thoroughly convinced it was so. We were terribly British there. British, it was a very popular thing to be British. And if you want to know, even now, although these people who talk big, they still attach a great deal of importance to Buckingham Palace and the Queen and things like that. Would you be surprised? A.B. Pereira, the great communist and all that kind of thing, or say that none of these things. When the Queen came to the United Nations, telegram after telegram was sent that he should be given precedence in the matter of presentation. I was present, I was vice president of the assembly, and I was also the chairman of the delegation, leader. So, and the vice president, they're trying to. This is all behind. All these fellows talk big outside. Like our friend Nkrumah. Nkrumah, there was no man prouder to dance with the Queen and to be seen about in England and Washington. That's why I had a contempt for him always. I knew very well. Mm-hmm. See that? But that nationalism only for home consumption. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people were really proud of the British
connection.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of man was Nkrumah? That's very interesting.
Nkrumah, he was a man with a great future.
Mm-hmm.
He believed in astrology and aphrodisiac. Something to say, every strong thing to say. He believed in, like our friend Sukarno, power of women, who were mainly the market people, and they were great power in Accra. But he believed in getting power somehow. He thought that the only way to get power is by putting the God idea into the head of the people.
In the God.
The Bible also reads his black angels and he himself God, deliverer.
And all
savior. He got this idea, power went into his head. He conceived the idea of being the dictator of all Africa. Because the astrologer said that he would marry an Egyptian wife. An Egyptian wife means the north and the south will combine, I will be dictator. He assumed the very beginning.
But didn't he have a small harem also?
I told you he believed in two things, astrology and aphrodisiac. He was but he was a very fine fellow, very clever chap, very capable. Fine man to speak to in Washington or London. Because I used to be the Dean of the Commonwealth and I naturally sat at lunch next to him and dinner and things like that. You see that? So he had long con the most reasonable man to speak to. But once he goes, he just went away. Terror. Now I asked Duncan Sand, who is a very good friend of mine, why in the name of goodness he asked Queen to go there? If I were Secretary of State, I would have not recommended it. Why do you recommend it to her? Taking such a risk. He said, I went there, and I saw how desperate the Queen Nkrumah is coming to the people were. And Nkrumah nearly fell on his feet. Get to the Queen here. That's all I want. And he made gushing tributes to Jack, to the royal family and the Commonwealth. He asked Nkrumah to put this down on paper. He put all that down on paper. I got a copy of it which I sent to the minister here. These are the great giants who talk big. Falling for the peace. A lot of our people are the same, I assure you. People who talk a lot of brave things, would do anything in the world from shoulder. When they cannot pay their views. There are people like that. Now Nkrumah would do anything in the world to dance with the Queen or seen in Buckingham Palace. Would do anything in the world to be seen with at White House. But they told me that. This is what I have known. I've seen. This is why sometimes I have such a contempt for them. Nkrumah is a man with a tremendous future. But he's going. All was spectacular things. All for the politicking, I show. Sukarno did the same thing. Politicking, that's it. Well, in Ceylon, we did the same thing. We aren't we wasting a lot of money on demonstrations, spectacular things? Have we not wasted? Are you sure that every economic measure we take, every project we undertake is for the benefit economically sound or politically sound? People are more concerned with the political sound. That's all. More of capturing the common man. I'm not saying these are any part of it at all, we have done it right to his time, we got down really to the sexual life. Leave aside party struggles. But to be able to give a square deal to the common man, and unless you do that, no party will succeed, right? Now there are dangerous politics now.
One thing about D.S., apart from his political advisors, when he was Minister of Agriculture and Land, isn't it correct to say that he had a sort of circle of Ceylonese advisors, civil servants? Who would you place within that circle?
Ceylonese, or you are going to get a club. Ceylon becomes Ceylon. He sat on most of the start with. He was the two, the A.J. Ramasinghe. A.J. Senevarathna. S.P. Vikramasinghe.
Richard Alvihar?
Alvihar. But he was not so close always.
Gans?
Gans, yes, Gans.
It's a wide circle. He seemed to have had a homely touch.
Oh, yes. He had a homely touch and he was determined to get the best out of it. The great thing about him was, although he was powerful, but at the same time, he loved it. He was patriotic and he was determined to get the best out. He didn't care where it came from.
But don't you think that he also tended to have yes men? For instance, Edmund Rodrigo was...
The moment he disagreed, then there was trouble. Yeah, all powerful men are like that. Yes men. But you could argue with him. But can't be too obstinate. You could argue with him. And he can change too. But he makes up his mind, he's upset. And then when you try to, you will stop it at that. You are thrown out there.
What sort of man was Tyrell?
You know, as I told you, a while ago, now Tyrell is one of the people who took upon himself the whole responsibility for all the abuse. He took all the abuse for what he did. The whole minister. They were really good civil servants in the sense that they carried out very loyally the policy of the government to the letter of it. He was, of course, upholder of the Indian kingdom and the ancient customs and various things like that.
I mean the feudal system?
Yes. He was all upholders of this. Continental told me once that he did not understand Indian customs. It is not bribery to receive all these things. You know, they all believe in the truth. It serves their purpose.
Perhaps it's also their sort of genteel, aristocratic background.
You must also remember a lot of people in this country were of Scottish origin too. The clan background. They also couldn't see an influence.
What about Mulhall and Leach and Collins?
Collins was really a fiery man. I used to, sorry to say, almost intimidate him. Whenever I took up a cause, he had to be. He was a good man. He had a lot of respect.
Weak?
I would say weak, he can be rather obstinate too. But, it's a case of he liked, he trusted him. So right. Now D.S. could get into doing anything. He was that sort of, that way.
Woodman? He didn't last long.
Woodman, if you ask me, very independent. Woodman was A.G.M. author and stuff. He, all the way grants and all that. He's very charming, man. Very independent man. Tom Reed was a wonderful man. A.G.M. author.
In what way?
Oh, he's a great boy. He's an Irishman who understood, you know.
He makes more, I guess.
Yeah, he makes more, and also he understood the aspiration of the people. Yes.
Strong, worldly?
Yes. They were all, in their own way, they are what you call of a bygone generation of people who are prim and proper.
So I was wondering whether they were the orthodox or the unorthodox?
No, they were quite orthodox. Quite orthodox. Very few unorthodox.
Really?
Tom Reed are unorthodox. New numbers. But
power, he likes to, you know,
show and
all that. Now that's a toward another lot, but I'm not too sure whether he sort of, I don't think, attachment. I mean, I find story, but I didn't think very much of it.
Of his thinking?
See? They are prepared to get on with anybody. Now there's another uncle of mine, W.T. Stace, those days, Woodman was very strong. Now Collins is the most human of the old ones. Father, very religious man.
Just one odd question. Now, in 47, I think D.S. was expecting a big victory, but wasn't he disappointed at the result?
Yes.
Do you think the strikes and all the previous trouble in Colombo, Kandasamy and all that contributed to it?
Yes, they all contributed, but the organization itself was wrong. To be frank, at one time we believed in winning votes through brokers, not by personal contact, through capitalist brokers.
Mudalali.
Mudalali. And we believed in even bribery in a different subtle form. Bribery and corruption in a subtle form. In this way, that a community's support is required, A, B or C to be picked up for office or for a particular appointment for a job. Or hope of a son-in-law or a son or somebody getting places. But no more is that applicable. Because we believed in getting work to agents. The agents fail, the whole thing machinery fails. The wrong type.
The wrong type of organization.
Wrong type. We depend entirely on it. We depend on headman.
Mm.
It's a, you know, I want to make an observation. We are yet fueled in fact. You'll be surprised when I say this. Now we use the single East time. We had this system, the Adigar, the Vishal, the Rasimatna, the Koral, the Arachi, the Vidan, and so on and so forth. And you became respectable aristocrat by reason of the fact that you had some office. It didn't matter how you got that office. Well, these are appointed by foreign
government.
The foreign government disappears, there's only one way if you can get acquire the same respectability, that is by riding on the backs of the common man. And now it's the same respectability, unless you break through the system, that obtains today. That is why the old feudal system is yet there, that's why people are certain.
In a different form?
In a different form. Only the appointment is by the people. But as Prime Minister is the Adigar, the ministers are the Visavas, the Rate Mahatyas are the members of parliament, the Koralas are the permanent secretaries, and so on and so forth. But what I say is we are still feudal in our way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And what you call one thing is the techniques are different. One, you stooge for the Britisher and get an honor. The other, you get bamboos or anything you like, get a common man, write on his back and say it's all the common man. And the man who calls him the public servant became the master. But that will break up. It's a mistake made, although I think it is still sort of respectably around these things. You see, we are really fooling ourselves. We are still thinking that we don't find any virtue beyond our time or beyond our relations or beyond our circle. That even the people are fit for him, there's a thing is something, somebody newly connected with us.
And what do you say about the present trend about, say, Mrs. Bandaranaike's regime and the coalition?
Now you are asking me some
on dangerous topic.
Well, there are many people who, as you know, that there is many people who think But even if Bandarana didn't have the position, they would have come back. At least you would be people say that. I wasn't here to know.
But in 65 years.
Yes. But today, I'm not, after the Corona election, I don't know what I'm to say.
No, I should think that she is, it's the Marxists who have lost rather than she. Because they have dropped some of their Marxists.
I also think so, because she has not, I don't know whether she has adopted, as far as I could see, any of their doctrines. But you are perfectly right, the Marxists have dropped some of them. He in fact liquidated them at once. See? So that to be said. Of course, I sometimes ask myself the question whether parties have any meaning, you know. What are the salient points of difference? What is the difference of policies? As I read the speeches made in election campaign, they're all applauding Bandaranaike policies. The electricity, the seat. All these people. So if there is no, I don't know what the distinct differences are. Let us say the single language. Is there a difference?
Mm-hmm.
Let us say religion. Is there a difference? I have not yet, I don't know, I'm talking of the basic issues. And the basic issues do see much of a difference. I'm trying to think of.
I think in terms of, I would say that in groups that support them, the UNC have more of the boutique keeper, the, shall we say, capitalist interest, not the SLSP, it doesn't have any, but shall we say, more of that group than the SLSP.
I also know in this country, Mughalal is giving contribution to both parties. I know personally.
Mm-hmm. So, I see what you mean.
Giving to both parties. In case.
Just like the independents coming forward and waiting to see which party wins.
I also know people who say they are better off, so people thought that private interests, private trade would suffer a great deal in the SLFP times and UNP traders would be crushed. I also know people who have told me in London, UNP Mughalali is a businessman, then they are better off under the new system because it is less expensive.
Less taxation.
Less taxation, more than that, less expensive, because for giving them this advantage, they have to spend so much money on the champagne level.
Oh, I see.
In the other case, it will be on the toddy level. I mean, it is only a
example.
For instance, by election they want lots of money, it's less. But these people are satisfied with less. For receptions, you see, actually what I've been told, you see. I laughed and laughed and laughed. And then there was another thing there. Well, we are the monopolies, but the UNP is a large number of people, sir. So we can't have monopolies. So I tell you, I see lots of things outside of me. So I'm now beginning to think. How these things operate at all. I don't see that difference. Foreign policy, I see there is no difference at all.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign policy is, I can say that quite independently.
That's a funny view. I talked with some friends of this, of the, shall I say, the SLSP Marxist line, and they seem to think that if, I don't know whether they honestly think so or whether they just put this forward for the, but in a discussion with me, and not in front of a meeting, they maintain that if the UNP come to power, the Catholic interest and the Tamil interest will get the whip hand. And I just can't see the logic.
I can't understand why.
They say
that. But at the same time, I don't deny that there are a lot of people who say that. But why, I don't know. You see, I'll tell you the reason. It may be for this reason too, that they have observed the public service regulations, which were more closely, and by reason of humanity, people are occupying high positions. Now, for instance, they would say, "Sir, I'm a Indian man, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher." What else can you do? It's a man, say, "Don't article, I'm a teacher."
Yes, I think that is one of the best, and I say that the top.
Or lying or behind. So they look at superficially. And I say that the politicians who make use of these things know better. But you can
use it.
And that is, this is being used under.